Welcome back to the EFL Magazine Business Podcast. This is episode 8 of season 2. Apologies for the break for a few weeks. We've been a little bit busy, but we have some great guests coming up over the next few weeks. And today's guest is James Liu. Now, James is James Liu, PhD, MBA, originally a scientist, management consultant, business coach, and ESL student. He empowers teachers to get their own students online and build a six-figure teaching business. And since 2019 has helped thousands of teachers go independent and charge what they're worth. James gives some really great information, very empowering, very inspirational, and I'm sure you're going to get a lot of value from today's podcast.
Hey everyone, buckle up for a new episode of the EFL Magazine Business Podcast, the one and only podcast made to help you launch your business or take your existing business to a level of success you could never have imagined. Whether you're a school owner, freelancer, publisher, or other entrepreneur, you're sure to pick up lots of actionable advice when you listen to the EFL Magazine Business Podcast. Remember to visit EFLmagazine.com for great articles and features. Without further ado, here's your host, the founder of EFL Magazine, Philip Pound.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the latest episode of the EFL Magazine Business Podcast. We're getting into winter now, and it's my great pleasure to introduce James Liu to you. James is the CEO of Bowe Strategy, a business coach for teachers. And so did I pronounce it right? Did I get my tones right? Bowe? Bowe? What's the correct
word? Very close. So Bowe is my father's first name.
Oh.
And yeah, he has his own business in China. No, Bowe something, right? The business. And I wanted to continue with that. So that's why I got my business, Bowe Strategy, and registered in the U.S.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I was looking at the Hanza last night and I was saying, how I watched this on Wei, and then I was thinking, is it Weibo? No, and he kind of did the reverse on that. No, it's Weibo, just your father's name.
Yeah, first name, yeah.
Because it looks a little bit, when you see it first, Bowe Strategy, doesn't it? You know, but that's...
A lot of people thought it was B-O-W-E-I or I-E. So it's not C-I. B-O-W-E-I. Yeah, I know it caused some confusions, but unfortunately, I would just stick to it.
Yeah, that's the best thing. It's your signature. So tell me a little bit, James, about your... There's so many things to get into. And as I mentioned before we started recording, I have to thank Paul Salloway and Herbert Gerzer for, you know, putting me in your direction. And I reached out. It's not what Americans say now, reach out. Don't say contact anymore. I reached out to you on LinkedIn a few weeks back, and I know you're very busy, and it's great to have you on. It's a privilege. So I just want to kind of dig in about you, because as I said, I had a quick look at your LinkedIn profile, and it's fascinating. So can you kind of go back a little bit and...
Sure. I want to thank Paul and Herbert too for connecting us. This is a great opportunity to meet your audience and introduce myself and my business. So yeah, my name is James Liu. I wouldn't call it fascinating about my profile, but it kind of a little bit complex, because I had a different background, different careers before I started this business. So originally I'm from China. I grew up in China, went to school in China, graduated from college in Shanghai. Then that was about 15 years ago. I applied for schools in the US, got here for my PhD, and also did an MBA at same school, Wake Forest University in North Carolina. So yeah, I think I was trained to become a scientist in a way, because I majored in physics, biophysics all the time. I spent like 10 years on the subject, did a lot of research. I published, I think, almost 20 papers about what I do, the research, all that. And then there's some opportunities when I was at Wake. I applied for this this MBA program. It's a PhD MBA program. I got in, and it really opens my mind, opened my world to this business world I was always interested in, because my father is entrepreneurs himself. So I've been influenced by him. I always know, oh, I want to start something myself. Even as a scientist, I wanted to have my own thing eventually. So after I graduated from Wake Forest, that was, I think, 2013, I had two different paths. Either I can just do the postdoc, you know, continue the research in the academic world, right? Or I can get a job and start doing, you know, something in business. Then I made a decision to do the postdoc for a couple of reasons. I got invited to the best lab in my field in the world at Harvard. So that's a great opportunity to really meet the best people in my fields in the world. And also it's going to be really helpful for me to get a green card if I continue my research. That's the kind of reason I picked that path, did my postdoc at Harvard for 3 years, from 2014 to 2017, got my green card, published a lot of papers. Then I got to another point where, what I want to do next? Do I want to continue so I can become a professor at some universities, you know, in the US or somewhere else? Or I make my, you know, make a transition to the business world eventually, right? So, and then I think at that point, I did some research. I found out the consulting is really interesting. The consulting was interesting. And my background works really well, because I can easily find a consulting position in the science, you know, science background, because consulting industry, these businesses, like these companies, like people with scientific backgrounds, because they do a lot of research, right? So then I got a job in consulting, management consulting, working with pharmaceutical companies, biotech, you know, medtech. I did that for 2 years, mainly focusing on marketing, sales, pricing with these corporates, how they launch their new products, how they price their products, how to enter another market. A lot of different things, very, you know, fascinating to me. I learned a lot in 2 years, and then that took us to 2018, end of 2018. That 2 years after consulting, at that time, I just got another point where I think, okay, what am I gonna do next? I can continue in consulting, you know, become manager, senior manager, partner eventually in 10 years probably, or I can finally do my thing. And luckily, I was working with my own ESL teachers at the time. So just, you know, since I got here in the US, been taking lessons with English teachers through all this whole journey, all the time, because I my English was really bad when I got here. No, first got here in the US, and I know I need to work on it if I want to be successful, right? So I've been working with my ESL teachers all the time. Then in 2018, some of my teachers start telling me, like, what's going on in this industry, like company coming in, and teachers feel like, oh my God, my price, I have to reduce my price all the time in order to get students, or I'm not getting any students anymore because these companies like taking over, and these platforms, they're just pricing us. So all of them is happening. And some of my teachers, they were like, hi, James, I don't think I'm going to teach you anymore because I need to go back to my previous job. I just can't lay with this job, you know, this online teaching job anymore. I was like, hey, wait a second, what's going on, right? Because I was in marketing, sales, pricing at the time. I kind of know what's, you know, kind of principles, like what people should do, online marketing, all that. I was like, hey, tell me more about it. So what's happening in this industry? And they were like, all these things happening with companies, the price, all that. I was like, let me take a look at it, right? So I did it for free with some of my teachers. So let me just take a look at what you are, like what you are doing right now, and hopefully I can help you. And then we kind of strategize, you know, things they can do, and boom, they got really good results. They're getting students that are charging 3-4 times of what they're getting from the platform, the company. They were like, oh, this is amazing, James. And it should definitely help so many more teachers out there, just desperating, right? Desperate teachers out there help them. And I don't think anybody knows about all this stuff you just told us, right? So that's kind of an idea. And then I was like, okay, I can leave this idea. I can just let it pass. I'll find another business idea maybe a couple of years from now, or I just, you know, secure it, just work on it, right? So I think that's the reason I started my business, this business, in January 2019. I was, okay, I left my job and then started this business. Okay, let's focus on this niche, helping teachers. I started with ESL teachers, helping them. Then I did a lot of one-on-one coaching, got almost 40 clients in 2019. Then we launched group training in 2020, the Teach Entrepreneur Challenge, 21-day challenge. And it's been 3 years almost. We've helped over 2,000 teachers so far. And we have a very close community of 500 people, 500 teachers in our community. We work with them very closely every day. And a lot of teachers have charged over $100 an hour. Some teachers have already got to six-figure business. So I would say they are very successful in terms of, you know, before like they started, they were like not even being able to make a living by doing what they love. So yeah, we are continuing growing. Well, right now we have a team of 10 people on the business with the business. And I'm very excited about business and very optimistic about it too.
So some of the things I took away from that was that teachers started competing on price. They felt that the first thing they should do is just hammer down their prices and compete against each other. Yeah. Yeah. And other thing I picked up was they were competing against established players, maybe in the market. And they obviously the need was they wanted to charge more and maybe scale their business. So, and you saw this, and did you feel that the market was underserved as in business coaches or mentors for ESL teachers?
Yeah, so first of all, when you sell commodities, right? If you're a general English teacher, you're selling commodity because there's so many teachers doing the same thing, the company are doing the same thing, then the only thing that you can compete is price. And that's the only thing when students trying to find a teacher, they were like, all the teachers are the same. Then what's the reason they choose you over the other one? The price. That's the only thing they can see, the difference. Now you charge 15. Oh, that teacher charges 14. Oh, that teacher $7, right? So that's why when you sell the same thing, when you provide very similar services, and if there are so many people are doing it, then you have to get into this price war, which is not good for anyone. And not to mention these companies coming in, right? The companies, they have a big scale that they can reduce the cost, right? They can do volume. And as an individual teacher, as an independent teacher, you just can't compete with them, right? And to your question, is market underserved? So I think there are two folds here, right? So are teachers underserved, right? Yes, of course. No, I think they're undervalued. They're underappreciated. No, they're not enjoying. I mean, that's the thing. I'm talking to so many teachers. They're not enjoying doing this anymore. So many teachers are trying to do something else. They even wanted to do freelancing, just wanted to proofread other people's thing. They don't want to teach anymore because they don't make money out of it. Right, so teachers not happy, and then are students underserved? Yes, because students are getting like standardized commodity service, and not good quality service, and the teachers are not happy. If teachers are not happy, they're not going to do their best to help students, and students getting underserved, mediocre services, and they're not getting results. Right, so I think the whole industry, the teachers, students are both underserved and underappreciated and not served enough. And that's why we always talk about, for teachers and for people who are familiar with our business, we always say, hey, you need to go for a niche. You need to have a niche, a very particular group of students you can help so that you can differentiate yourself. So people start seeing you differently. Oh, you're not just a general teacher. You are a teacher only help me, like only helps me. Right? Oh, you have a program only specifically designed for people like me, right? So that makes you a specialist, and then people don't compare you with other teachers on price anymore. So it's like, okay, that makes sense, right? So that's what we call perceived value, how people think you, how much you're worth, you know, the value or delivery. When they talk to you, then they don't compare you with other teachers because you're offering something very different, right? It's not like I can get it easily everywhere else. No, you can only get it here with me because I'm the specialist. Yeah, I think that's the solution. If the student with a niche teaching, teachers can charge what they're worth. Now, all teachers charging over $100 an hour. Some teachers working with us, they charge $200, $300 an hour. So they can charge what they are worth. And students, and I'm amazed by how good results the teachers can bring the students. Students are getting promotions. Students are getting jobs, getting like so much progress just in 10 weeks because these teachers, they got $100 an hour, right? They focus on helping you. So that's really, I think, a win-win situation with what we are doing here.
Okay, so it's not just the individual teachers, but it's the market itself, isn't it? So what we're saying is you can't compete with the huge companies on cost because, you know, they can scale and they can, you know, they can charge a cheaper price. They can have loss leading prices if they want. They can have giveaways, monthly flat rates.
They can even doing business, losing money. They don't care. If they want to kill you, they kill you first and then they increase the price, right? So they have much more power than independent teachers. They can survive without making any money in 1 year because the investor is going to just keep pulling money into the business. And for all the independent teachers, you can't even survive 1 month without making any money, right? So that's totally two different magnitude, like not on the same level.
That's a good point. So this was leading up to the next question, and this was kind of related to that. I've spoken to a few school owners, managers, and they've had this problem in, you know, various countries around the world that they compete against bigger chains, and they may have, you know, quite established bricks and mortar schools, you know, quite good size, retention of students, but they're always at a disadvantage with the bigger players. Mm-hmm. So how would you, you know, for an established school that's maybe in this market, if they wanted to pivot in some way, what kind of advice would you give them that, you know, they're already there and they need to get, you know, scale to another level?
Yeah, so I think similarly to independent teachers, either you scale, you become as big as your competitors so you can compete them on the same level, right? That's one approach, but I think most schools teachers can't do it because that requires a lot of funding, a lot of resources to do it, right? And secondly, the second approach, which is a better one, is okay, I'm not going to compete with you. I will specialize. I'll go deeper. I don't go wide. I go deeper, right? I go deeper. And that is better one because it doesn't require a lot of resources to do that. You just specialize in things like one thing, right? And all these companies, when they are at a really big scale, they can't go deeper anymore. And they want to go as wide as possible. They want to get big fish. No, and they don't care about small fish. They don't go deep. And when you go deep, they don't compete with you and you specialize. And you have your own like market to penetrate, to market, right? And that's good enough for any established schools or even independent teachers. So you just have to think about, okay, what you're good at, what you're specialized already. And I mean, just look into like what you have done in the past few years and what the students you're targeting, just specialize. Don't say, oh, we teach languages or we teach students, like that's what we do. No, just pick the typical ones, right? You're constantly getting students, with then just go after them, make your messages more specific, right? So for those who might not be able to follow me, here's some examples, right? If you're just a general, like a teacher, they just say, hey, I teach, you know, we help people with their English, we help their English, they can become very fluent in just a couple of weeks, right? That's the messages, that's the marketing messages you use when you're a very general teacher or general school. Oh, we do language training, we do tutoring, and we help you will be do your exam, right? So that's very broad. No, that's the same thing these companies are doing. Then you're competing with them. But when you specialize in one particular group, so I always use IT professional because it's a big market. Then you say, hey, I help IT professionals to improve their communication skills so they can improve their job performance and succeed in their career. You see? So then IT professionals, let's say there's an IT professional looking at the one, like the broad one, a general teacher, a general school or teacher saying, oh, I help you with your English. And the other one, a niche teacher or a niche school saying, hey, we help IT professionals. We have been doing this for 10 years. We help a lot of IT professionals with their communication. We know what your problems are, right? Then I will go with that because I trust specialists, even though that specialist is going to charge much more. Because I know I'm very typical clients they have been helping, right? So that's how you can survive when the whole market is taken over by companies, by big players, then you don't compete with them unless you can, right? But most people can't, so then you go deep, deep, deep. So you can get your own market to penetrate, to serve your business, which is more than enough in many cases.
So it's a little bit like the chain schools with the big budgets are like the drift net, aren't they? And the factory ships, they're able to bring in this massive amount of fish, whereas really the independent contractor should be looking at maybe harpooning a whale, you know, going after one market and bringing it in. And this is kind of what Paul Salloway talks about as well in the previous, but niche down again. And I think one of his students he talked about was a tree surgeon. And she specializes in teaching English to tree surgeons. So that's just an example.
That's exactly. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the way people can survive, right, as independent teacher and teachers in the schools when you cannot compete with big players.
Yeah, that's very much. And so for you and from your experience, what kind of niches so that surprised me when I heard about, English for tree surgeons. I was like, oh, OK, there's a niche. So can you think of any other unusual ones? Maybe so for people who are listening that maybe, you know, they come from unusual background that they can specialize in this. Yeah.
That's a very common question, and that's actually the first question we answer in the 21 Teacher Entrepreneur Challenge. You know, if you don't have a niche, and you can, you know, nothing gonna happen after that, right? So, we help teachers define their niche, and a lot of people who have been following me or other people, they know they need to have a niche. They spend like a month trying to figure out, okay, what is my niche, right? I think people are overthinking about it, right? To me, nothing gonna work unless you take action, implement, test it, and see if it works, right? If you can always hypothesizing, you can spend months try to strategizing, but nothing gonna happen until you do it. So in terms of niche examples, it's really about what background you have. Now, for example, we help two different groups. One is the traditional teachers who have been teaching at their career, for their career, have gone through the traditional training. They have done all this qualification. The traditional teachers who've been teaching most of the time. And for these people, I always say, hey, just put up a sheet. Now list all the students you've taught before, and see what is their job or their industry, what the background, why they learn English, and try to categorize them and see if you can have a category you're interested in, that can be a good starting point and go after that, right? And by doing this, some traditional teachers being targeting lawyers, physicians, targeting consultants, accountants, this is a kind of a profession specific niche, or targeting industry specific niche. For example, I help professionals in the automobile industry. I help professionals in the oil industry, like industry specific niche, and depending on what students they've taught, right? So this is the first group, the traditional teachers. The second group we are helping is non-traditional teachers, teachers who had different careers before they became a teacher. start teaching. And actually, it's easier for these people because the best niche always be the job they had before, related to their job they had before, the career they had before. For example, we have people who was a salesperson before, and now the teachers are targeting sales professionals. And we had teachers, you know, who were in the hospitality industry before, and they targeted people in hospitality industry, right? So it's like you want to try to find people you can relate to, you have taught or you were them before. So we kind of give you a starting point because you kind of know them already, then start building there, right? And then even with people who start with the same thing, oh, I help IT professionals. And then after 2-3 months, they will kind of, evolve into different niches because how they do it, what the focus is going to be different. And then I help IT professionals, and then I'm good at presentation. Then 2-3 months into it, they focus more and more on presentation. And some people, oh, I'm really good at accent modification, then they actually focus more on the pronunciation. And then even with the same IT professionals, they have different, it's about what they teach is different. Even teachers who have the same what to teach, the approach can be different. Now, teachers might teach accents in many different ways. It's not like one is better than the other one. It's not, it's just like different approach, and that attracts different people. So that gives the three questions I always ask. Hey, people, for teachers who want to define a niche, you need to ask three questions. Who I'm going to teach, what I'm going to teach, how I'm going to teach it. Right, three things, and that defines your niche. And that gives a lot of creativity. For example, there are teachers now teaching students with using games, using video games, using music, a different approach. And what they teach can be also different. People are doing communication efficiency, focusing on word choices, sentence structures, right? And also a lot of people are combining culture and the communication, the language together. So once you have this framework and you can be really creative, and depending on what you're passionate about, where is your expertise and how you want to help these people. So yeah, I think I'm not sure if this answers the question, but kind of the structure we follow to help teachers define their niche. And just one last point, don't overthink it. No, nothing may happen if you just think about it for 6 months. All right, so I always encourage them to just take action and test it.
Yeah, and that's a nice segue, James, because that's something I want to come on to. So for teachers starting out, overthinking can be, you know, analysis paralysis, as you probably know from your consulting days, is that nothing gets done. But then there's another overthinking, it's actually doing too much, isn't there? Becoming too diffuse and going in too many, trying to chase what they say here in Japan, is chase two rabbits, catch none, isn't it? You have to get people to be super focused, like in the Serengeti with the lion just chases one antelope and whatever else goes past him.
So I think that's the next level. A lot of people get to us, work with us because they want to get students, but they didn't realize what they're doing is actually starting a business. And on top of that, you're not just starting a business, you're transforming yourself from teacher to teacher entrepreneur. So that's another level. So a lot of teachers that have been very successful right now, and then when they look back, they were like, if you ask me what is my best achievement in the past 2 years, since I started this business, I'm not going to mention that I'm making six figures. I'm not going to mention that I'm charging like $200 an hour. I think the biggest achievement is that the fact that I'm a better version of myself now. And I think differently, I behave differently, I react to things differently, I'm more focused. And I have a better mindset that helped me succeed in many other things. So to me, having a business is not about having a business, saying, make six figures, seven figures, the money. It is really a trial to me. So if I can succeed in the business, I'm actually becoming a better person, a better version of myself, which is more of the result I'm looking for. Now, just I can have multiple businesses, right? But I'm actually using the business to make myself become better and better every single day. So that involves all this mindset you said, right? If you can't even be consistent on doing one thing, you wouldn't be able to become a successful entrepreneur. You wouldn't be able to have a good business. If you just get distracted so easily every day, you can't even focus on one thing for 1 hour, you're not going to be successful in your business or in anything, to be honest, right? So this is the thing. A lot of teachers, they struggle a lot at the beginning of this journey. They don't even get one student, but they appreciate everything every day because they're finding themselves like changing every day. It's like I always say, people always say, I want to have a six-figure business. I want to be that successful. But to me, it wouldn't be that successful. You wouldn't have a six-figure business until you become that person that is good enough for the business. So you have to change yourself first in order to have that successful business. It's not like, I get a successful business, then I will become the successful person. No, you need to become that successful person first so that you can have that successful business. So that's a lot of people don't understand it. So that you made a very good point here. All these mindsets, focus, being focused and being consistent. Don't overthink. It's not only for the business, it's for yourself to succeed in your life. So when you leave this world, you didn't waste your time here, right? So that's how I see it.
It's kind of like the Bruce Lee quote, isn't it? About not learning 100,000 moves, but doing one move 100,000 times, isn't it? Practicing it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So just start off that way. So that's something I actually had written down here as well about. It sounds a bit woo-woo, but we were talking about levels of consciousness, you know, from being, you know, somebody maybe at bottom or maybe working for some of the bigger online schools, and then suddenly to where, you know, you're making those six figures. So what needs to happen? What kind of change in mindset needs to happen?
Yeah, changing mindsets. I think everyone has their different challenges in mindset. But after working with many teachers, if we only speaking of teachers, right? So the number one, the top one, I think is the imposter syndrome. I think that would be the number one, just because how the industry has evolved, how the teachers have been treated by the industry, by the students, by schools and companies, they don't see themselves worth that much anymore. They're always like, James, I just want to make $20 an hour as I used to do. I was like, come on, you can do better. So when I tell people, hey, you can charge over $100 an hour. No, I remember when I first started in 2019, I always tell people, hey, that's the goal. You need to make over $100 an hour teaching English, teaching ESL online. They're like, hey, stop kidding me. No, nobody can do it, right? And you know what? So many teachers working with us are charging not only 100, 200, 300, right? So if you can't overcome the imposter syndrome, you don't even think you are worth that much. Nobody gonna pay you that much. Nobody gonna appreciate you that much. Because you can't even appreciate yourself enough, right? So you can't ask people to appreciate you. So imposter syndrome, that's a big struggle for a lot of teachers, but you just have to understand you wouldn't be able to overcome it overnight. It takes time. You have to practice. You have to remind yourself. A lot of teachers who have been working on their business for a year, they always say, I'm still having this imposter syndrome sometimes. I got invited to an event and speaking to like 100 people. I'm not very confident. I'm not very comfortable. I don't know. I'm good enough to do this, right? But then you have to remind yourself, okay, I don't know if I'm good enough, but if I don't do it, I will never know. So you just have to push yourself and do it, right? So this is number one, imposter syndrome, which is a big, big one because that stops so many people from actually taking action, implementing, because they don't feel like they're good enough for a six-figure business. They're like, hey, James, stop kidding. If I can get maybe $1,000, $2,000 a month, I will be so happy. Yeah, if that is your goal, you're making probably $500 a month, right? So that's one thing. The second one, I would say perfectionism. Okay, that surprised me a lot because I'm not a very, I'm not a person chasing perfectionism. I always feel like be okay with okay. No, it is more entrepreneurial because if you're an entrepreneur, you can't wait and you can't wait to launch the product until the product is perfect. Who knows what is perfect, right? So how you define a thing to be perfect? And a lot of teachers, on the other hand, they just want the perfect thing. So that caused a lot of hesitation. They want to have a perfect profile before they want to make it public. They want to have a perfect post before they publish it. They want a perfect video even before they publish. Then they spend 6 months, a year, 2 years preparing, not doing anything. And then when they launch it, disappointment, nothing happens, right? Because that is a perfect version for you, but it's not a perfect version necessarily for the market. And how are you going to do it? Be okay with okay. You have your prototype. You have something. Just launch it. Test it. Right? Who cares? Test. Let the market tell you what you need to improve. Right? So that's a better process. That's a better way to have a business because you're going to have so many ideas. You're going to have to test different things. If you wait, always wait until you want, you know, it's perfect to you, you know, waste so much time, energy, resources. And you're gonna fall in behind. You're gonna fall behind, and that's not gonna be good for a business. That's the second one. I think the third one. So the first one, imposter syndrome. The second one, perfection. I think the third one will be, I think a teacher mindset. That's kind of a new one to me. A teacher mindset when it comes to marketing themselves, when it comes to marketing, online marketing, when it comes to do sales, they still see themselves as a teacher. So teacher, you know, think about this. We're launching this 7-day social media marketing right now. So one of the things I talk a lot is when you're on social media, you don't want to be a teacher. Well, nobody get on social media to listen to a teacher, right? I finally graduated from schools. I don't want to deal with teachers anymore. I don't want to learn anything on social media. So a lot of teachers, when they post, they were like, hey, today I want to talk about this and this, this. And hey, you need to learn this and this, this. And then that's not going to be helpful. And you want to position yourself, right? You want to think differently. You're on social media not to teach anyone, not to find students. You're on social media to build connection, to have your community. So that's a different one. So these three things I would say, from teacher's perspective, these are most important three mindsets.
Okay, fantastic. And I want to come back to that a little bit, but first I neglected to ask you the URL and your name of your courses. So if you'd like to give the URL to your site and the names of your courses and what you provide.
Sure. Couple of services we're doing, but if you guys wanted to look into it, I would check my website. It's teachers, TEACHERS.BoweyStrategy.com. So BoweyStrategy.com strategy.com. That's my main website. You can find all these services we have, you know, free, paid, depending on your stage. Take a look at it. If you're interested, you know, reach out with questions. We have a team doing this, helping people 24/7 answer questions. Yep, teachers.bowiestrategy.com. That's my homepage.
Okay, great. And I'll put that in the show notes as well for everybody.
Thank you.
So what you talked about, imposter syndrome, perfectionism, and the teacher's mindset. So, you know, it's fortunate when teachers are conscious of these things, isn't it? You're conscious that you're doing these, but sometimes, you know, teachers, entrepreneurs, we're not conscious and we need someone to call us on our procrastination or however we manifest this unconscious force of, you know, uncertainty or aversion to change or, you know, perfectionism, isn't it? So we all need a mentor. How about you? Have you yourself mentors that you go to, partners? Who do you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say that's a growth mindset of recognizing that everybody needs help. Now, I think it's hard to transform yourself on your own, to change yourself on your own. And then everyone needs a mentor, need mentors, need communities to help you. So when I started this business, before I started this business in 2019, like when I had an idea, okay, I want to try this because my teachers say, my teacher told me that this is going to work because so many teachers don't like what I do. So the first thing is not, okay, I'm going to register my business or have a website. No, that's not the first thing I did. The first thing I did was go online. It's just a Google thing. So who's doing this type of thing? Who is the best person succeeding it in this coaching industry? Like, who's the best business coach out there? Right? I did my search and my research, and then I found a couple, and then just pick the course. I didn't even make any money at the time from this business. I paid like $2,500 for a course, a video-based course.
Was this a teacher? A teacher?
No. It's not for teachers anymore. Okay. It's not for teachers. No, there's no course for teachers at that point, right? Mm. So the course is for like very general business coaching, how you do online business, how you start a six-figure online teaching business. That was the course about. Then $2,500 invested in that course. That course is like eight weeks. I finished it in 4 days. I was like spending probably 20 hours, almost 20 hours a day. So I was like so thirsty. Like, I just wanted to know what's going on, how they do it. It's fascinating what's happening. And it's very easy for me because I already know all these principles because of my MBA background, the two-year consulting background. I understand very easily, but it's more like, I need to know the proven system, like what people do this, right? I can come up ideas myself, I can test it, but I don't want to do it myself. I don't want to make mistakes. I want to be where they are in just a couple months by taking a course, right? So I take the course, there are some mentors, people I talk to, ask questions, the community I can ask questions. That really helped me when I first started. Although I'm not that evolved in the community anymore because I'm actually doing better than most of people in the community. So, but that's very essential to me. At first, you have a mentor, you have a course, you have some training to rely on. Then it's up to you how you want to implement. So you understand the principles. Okay, these are the things people are doing that works right now. Okay, I'm going to implement. I will revise. Because every niche is different. The approach might be different. So I can be flexible. I will test different things and then make it work. And after that course, that was end of 2018, the very first course I invested to help me with this business. I invested in another course that was, I think, early 2019, where I get to the stage where, okay, I got a lot of one-on-one clients. I'm doing all group coaching. What's my next step? What is my next step? I kind of implement everything I learned from the course from other people. Okay, what is my next step? How can I scale? So I invest in another course. So now I can't believe I actually did it. It's like $5,600. $5,600. I even invest in another course because I need it. I get to a point where I can try everything myself. I can scale. But I need to know how can I get to the next level in just a few months. By following a proven system, so I invested another course, $5,600. And you know what? I made the money back in just 2 weeks.
Did you give them a testimonial as well?
The testimonial as well. So video, because they are doing a good job. The course. I took the course. I know a lot of things they talk about in the course already, but I get assurance, like, okay, it's going to work. And give me confidence, okay, I need to keep going, right? And also some very minor things, like very tweaks I didn't know that can get me better results, right? So I think for all the teachers, that's another thing, maybe if we can call it mindset, is the growth mindset. You need to realize, you need help. And you need to realize following proven system, following what other people are using or are doing that is already proven, and save you time and extra money. So without investing in these courses, probably I wouldn't be here like where I am right now in 3 years, right? Without these courses, probably I'm still like trying things myself. I'm making progress, but not going to be as fast as I want it to be. So these are the kind of growth mindset, always looking for growth opportunities and recognizing there are people better than me. I need to learn from the best so I can become the best. So, yeah.
And what you touched on something really interesting there was a proven system. So, and this is something I fall prey to, and I've been reading recently Alex Hormozi. I don't know if you know Alex. He's on YouTube, but I'd really recommend his books and his YouTube channel as well. I'll put the link in the show notes. But he touches on something which was really relevant to me. He said that, you know, if a mentor says something to you and says, this is how it's done, this is what worked it before, don't question them. Say, this is it. Don't say, well, actually, no, it doesn't work in my experience, in my way. Just say, just listen and do it. Is that, would you go along with that?
Exactly. So you should question, you should always question things. But when your mentor tells you, hey, do it, you do it first, then you raise questions, because you can't raise questions without actually testing doing it, right? If you're right, then this is not a good mentor. So when somebody tells you to do something to test it, you do it first, and then you will get some feedback. If it's not working, raise questions. Oh, it seems like not working, but you can only do that after you actually test it, implement it, and take the action. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Does that be maybe a frustration for a mentor? Because sometimes you get the blowback and you're like, oh, well, I don't know if I can do it. It won't happen. Is that kind of a little bit frustrating for you sometimes?
Yeah, I got that a lot. So when I first started this business, clients, it's not about they don't trust you. It's about, for me, it's like I didn't realize, they don't fully understand me sometimes, and I didn't focus on the mindset a lot, because I remember when I first started this business, I pushed my clients too much, because I always feel like they should be like me, just doer, like taking action, right? So, and then I got a lot of pushback. So then I have to learn how to work with teachers, right? Understand what their like struggles are, so I can solve them first before asking them to take action. Which is a mindset oftentimes, right? And the other thing is, later on in the business, once you are more established, so it's like we don't work with anyone. If you're this type of person, just doubt everything, like just don't take action, I just can't help you, right? Or with the money invested, it's not possible for us to spend so much time just helping you with these things, not making any progress, right? So. Yeah, I think we are at a stage where if you are that type of person, we just can't work with you. It's not like nobody can work with you, just we can't and we don't want to, because there's so many other teachers we can easily help. And I think that's better use of our time to do that.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about the challenges that you've noticed teachers have, with mindset and imposter syndrome. Yeah. So from your experience of consulting and in the science world, what positives can teachers bring?
That's a good point. So it's not like there are no positive things about teachers at all. I know I've been like talking about the challenges, the obstacles, the mindset, the feels like teachers are not good for the business world at all. It's not true. Okay, so the positive things, I think one, which is the first one, which is the, I think, most important thing for having a successful teaching business, is the fact that teachers are so willing to help. So I think that's the biggest part I appreciate a lot when I work with teachers. They were just like willing to help. They have a really good mindset in terms of helping, supporting. And some of them, wanted to help without asking for money, which is not what we suggest usually. But the fact that they want to help is very critical for the business, because you have a business, you have a coaching business, teaching business, and end of the day, it's about helping your clients, right? And if you are not, if you are not the person that want to help, want to see your students succeed in their career, then you are not gonna have this business success as successful as you want, right? So the fact that they're helpers, they want to help, helps with their business. I can tell you, so many teachers got really good responses. They were like, I mean, I'm not even exaggerating. They're changing lives. So many students give them feedback, respond reviews, like, hey, I wouldn't be here without you. You have changed my life. I think that all comes from the fact that they want to help. But unfortunately, a lot of teachers haven't been able to transfer from a helper to a business owner, because it's actually a very simple twist. Just when you try to help, you focus on helping, and then people will come to you. And some teachers just get confused because we talk about sales as well. People don't like selling. So to me, it's not about selling, it's helping the right people, right? So yeah, I think that's the one thing. The helpers, they really want to help. I think the second thing, working with the teachers, and is they, it's very touchy sometimes to me. They just wanted to teach. I think they love teaching. That's another thing. They love teaching. They enjoy teaching. One of my clients, she was like, I'm not getting paid at all when she first started. I'll just do it for free. I still want to teach, right? So they love teaching. And that's essential as well, because you're starting a teaching business. If you don't enjoy teaching, if you don't love teaching, and you're not going to be able to have a teaching business at the end of the day, because this whole thing is hard. If you don't like it, you're not going to make it. So I think one is the fact that they want to help, and the second is they love teaching, which makes it a good way to look at their business.
Okay, fantastic. And I can relate one story actually from an ex-student of mine. I was talking about prices, and it's this whole thing about price and value and what teachers can actually give. And I was talking about, courses like IELTS, GMAT, which you've probably done, MBA and GRE, SAT. And I said, I asked this ex-student, I said, how much would you pay for this course, for example, if a school? He said, if I want to pass a TOEFL test, if I want to pass GRE, GMAT, whatever, he said, I would pay any money, because that's what I want. I want to get my job in. I want to get my green card. I want to get my job. I want to get my new life abroad. I want, and that's really what it's about, isn't it? The teachers are undercharging for what the value they give.
Yeah. So undercharging for what the impact they can make on students' lives.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's been fantastic chatting to you, James. I've been completely inspired. I know it's kind of late in the evening here, and when we first started, before the recording, I said, "Oh, I don't know. I'm a bit tired now. I'm not sure, but I'm complete. I don't know if I'll be able to get any sleep now." So that's the thing. So let's for people looking to start out in this journey, they're starting maybe, and of course, the position in China now, with a lot of the companies closed down or been closed down, and a lot of teachers looking for jobs, and post COVID, and so teachers there, this is my situation. I want to make the break. What kind of advice can you give to them as a first step?
Yeah, I think first step will be you need to understand what you want. So after being in this business for 3 years, I don't think everyone is going to enjoy this entrepreneurial journey. Having the business is not for everyone. You need to know what you want. So then for teachers who really want to be independent, because the flexibility, they want to become a better person, they want to tap into their potential, reach to the next level, right? My advice will be, start your own business, go independent. It might take you a few years, but you do it now, 3 years from now, you have a successful business, compared to you just look for another job, 3 years, you are still looking for jobs. right? So starting your own business, and then how you gonna do it? If you have enjoyed this podcast, you feel like James can help you, now reach out to us.
Give that URL again, James, please. Yeah.
Teachers. teachers.bowiestrategy.com. So on the webpage, you can find the free ebook. That ebook has been downloaded by 50,000 teachers in 2 years. And we got so much good feedback, a lot of reviews on the ebook. Read that. If that ebook inspires you, it's like, oh my God, this is great. This is what I want. Now take the 21-day Teach Entrepreneur Challenge. So the price is about a little bit over $100. Now take that. Give yourself an opportunity to see if this is for you. Now we graduate 100 teachers every month in that challenge. Not everyone gonna continue, but a lot of people liked it because they really open their eyes, see things differently, and really understand how this works. And I think that would be the couple steps, right? If you think we can help you, read the ebook. If that ebook makes sense, join the 21-day Teach Entrepreneur Challenge we host every month. Or just send us an email asking questions. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, that's great. And James, are you in all the usual social media places? I know you're on LinkedIn because you have a Facebook group as well, don't you?
Yeah. On the same website, on the bottom, you can find all my social media links. I'm on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Yeah, you can find me there.
So James, thanks again.
Yeah, thank you, Philip, for having me today here, giving me the opportunity to talk to your audience. And I appreciate that. And I hope we can maybe do another one in the future.
Thanks for listening to the EFL Magazine Business Podcast with Philip Pound. For more great advice and resources, check out EFLmagazine.com. If you found this podcast helpful, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. See you next time.